Now, this month is IBS Awareness Month, which, if you hadn't figured it out, was irritable bowel syndrome. Pretty common condition, affects one in five Aussies, but what some may not realise, it does have similar symptoms to bowel cancer. It really is important to keep an eye on your bowel health, one way or the other. And to find out more, we're heading to the Sydney Adventist Hospital, harnessing the latest advancements in health while giving you the attention, respect and care you deserve. They're great sponsors of our program, and I'm joined by Dr. Graham Rich, the head of gastroenterology at the SAN. Hello, Graham.
Hi, Bill. Nice to be with you.
Thanks, mate. Well, you're a gastroenterologist. Do people typically know what you do when they first come to see you?
Most adults do. Certainly if I have kids on work experience, they're a bit surprised when they hear what I do and how I've got here, to be honest. But I think most adults have a pretty fair idea. Colonoscopy is so common in Australia. And so I think most people have a bit of an idea.
So what are some of the things we can do to look after our bowels? I know it sounds like a horrible subject, but it's pretty important.
Yeah, most of this chat will be pretty horrible, unfortunately. So I think in terms of just general health, and bowel health really goes along with that, making sure that you're not smoking, not drinking too much grog, keeping fairly active and keeping your weight under control. These things, you know, they flow over to the bowel as well, but they're pretty good advice just for health in general. In terms of bowel-specific conditions, is really addressing the symptoms that you have and making sure that you don't, you know, exactly as you outlined at the beginning, you don't sort of minimise the symptoms that you've got. And one of the difficulties in gastroenterology is that a lot of conditions look a bit the same, and there are lots of things that are very simple and common. So things like a bit of bleeding from the back end, it can be, and in fact most of the time is, something quite simple. So things like hemorrhoids or little tears at the back end, and that's quite common. The issue is that those same symptoms can be really serious things. So things like large polyps, which are the precursors of bowel cancer, and also bowel cancer itself can present with bleeding. So I think not minimising the symptoms and getting checked out if you do have symptoms is probably the key to all of it, really.
Yeah, well, that's why screenings are really important, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. And so there's two different populations. I mean, screening in its real form is based on patients who actually don't have any symptoms. So the government, through the fecal occult blood testing program, from the age of 50 to 74, will provide a screening kit every 2 years for all Australian adults. Now, they're really designed for patients who are asymptomatic. So if you've got bleeding or you've got, you know, belly pain or reflux or some of these other symptoms, you're actually in a different class of patient that you should get assessed on the merit of those symptoms. And you should see your GP in the first instance, and ideally then be referred in, if felt appropriate by the GP, to the gastroenterologist to have a look and to have a chat and say, look, here are my symptoms. What should we do next? Does this represent something serious, or is this something that actually is a benign, nothing to worry about kind of symptom that we may be able to give you some symptomatic treatment for? And so the screening tests are really designed for people who have absolutely no symptoms at all. So you haven't seen any bleeding, because if you have seen bleeding, well, you need to get assessed. And so that's a different group of patients. So if you haven't had any bleeding and you haven't got any symptoms, then what you should do is you should have your screening test every 2 years. And if it's positive, that's when you should then say, look, I have no symptoms, but actually I've now got, and the test looks for microscopic blood in the bowel motion. So what the test says is that you've got microscopic blood in the bowel motion, and we now need to work out, is that something simple, so things like hemorrhoids and those kind of things, or is it something more concerning, so things like advanced polyps or bowel cancers?
Now, colonoscopies, I had my fifth or sixth, I think, just a couple of weeks ago, and they're pretty common for a lot of people, but the preparation, I think, might put some people off. I reckon I've streamlined it pretty well, and I know a couple of famous American actors, Tom Hanks is one of them, they actually get together and have colonoscopy parties the night before. I don't know if you read that article, it was around a couple of years ago, but anyway, there are a lot of steps that you've got to take. Does that put people off?
It does. I mean, I think bowel preparation is a means to an end. And if you're going out to the bar, you're not going to be drinking, you know, GlycoPrep or any of these other bowel preparations. But for what they do, they're pretty effective. And the flavours have improved over the years. So I don't think any gastroenterologist is going to tell you that they're delicious, but they're not as bad as they were. And they're really, unfortunately, a necessary part for us to be able to see, you know, what we need to see. So every gastroenterologist has slightly different bowel preparation instructions, and I think following the instructions that you're given is probably the best thing you can do to give yourself the best chance of having good prep.
Now, you mentioned earlier the large polyps. There are certain types of polyps, aren't there? So can you explain what a gastroenterologist is looking for in that procedure?
Yeah, so we're looking for polyps are the precursors of cancer. So the bowel starts off as a long, floppy, narrow tube. And over time, you can get cells developing mutations in their genetics. And so you get one abnormal cell that grows and divides and divides and divides and becomes a bump or like a little mole. And that's really what we're looking for at colonoscopy, because if we can, while we're there, chop these polyps out, then we stop them from continuing to grow and to mutate. And bowel cancer basically comes from these polyps, that these polyps continue to grow, they continue to mutate, and when they get big enough, then they will eventually become a cancer, and then they can tunnel into the actual tissue of the bowel and then spread to other parts of the body. And that's when the real problems start. So if we can take them out when they're polyps, we can basically protect you from bowel cancer.
And what are the next steps for a patient? If there is something concerning found, you may well remove it, as you say, but what happens next?
So it depends a bit on what we find. So a lot of polyps can be removed at the time of your colonoscopy. And the aim of the game is to do as much as we can safely while we're doing your colonoscopy to try and, you know, basically get the job done. Now, there are things that we're going to find that we can't fix at the time. So things like very large polyps, sometimes we would say, look, we've taken a biopsy, meaning that we've taken a small tissue sample of it to get more information about this particular polyp. And often that occurs when we're a bit concerned that, look, this actually may not just be a precancerous polyp, but this actually may be a polyp that's got some early cancer in it. And the reason we do that is because we want to get enough information that we do the best thing for patients. And so sometimes by taking a biopsy, we then say, look, we've got to make a bit of a plan. It does look like it's got a bit of a spot of cancer in it. So we're going to need to get some imaging. So things like a CAT scan, we might want to get some blood tests. We might want to make a plan as to how we're actually going to get this bigger lesion out. Can we take it out endoscopically, so still via a colonoscopy, or do we actually need to think about doing a surgery? So the aim of the game is that on the day, the patient should know after their procedure, have a chat to the doctor and be able to say, look, good news, we found a few polyps, we need to see you in a few years' time, or actually, hang on a sec, we found something more serious and this is what we need to do now. So really by the end of you're normally coming in for about half a day, and by the end of that time, you should have met with the proceduralist who did your procedure and come up with a bit of a game plan. So you should know what's gone on and what we found and what we need to do next.
And I suppose the obvious thing is the more often you're examined, the earlier we can get hold of these things. If, for example, there is an early sign, the better it is.
Yeah, that's right. So I think There's a couple of parts to this answer. So the first is that we certainly want to find things early, because we know that finding polyps early means we can chop them out early before they become cancer. So that certainly makes good sense. Finding bowel cancer early, so the earlier the stage of the bowel cancer, the easier the treatment is. So we're talking things like, can we cure it with a bowel cancer surgery? Or for the later stages, do we need either chemotherapy or radiotherapy or a combination of the two? And certainly the earlier we find things, the better patients will go. Now, the flip side of that is we actually now have very good evidence as to how often. So firstly, who should get a colonoscopy? So if you don't have any symptoms, in Australia, we use bowel cancer screening, fecal occult blood testing. So if you have no symptoms and you have a negative screening test with the stool test, then actually you're off the hook for 2 years, and you should, unless you develop symptoms, do another screening stool test in 2 years' time. So not everyone actually needs a colonoscopy. You've got to have a reason to have it done, which is either a symptom or a positive screening test. So that's the first thing. Now, once we've done your colonoscopy, we get a huge amount of information about what your risk is going forward. So lots of people, back when the scope technology wasn't quite as good and the medical literature wasn't quite as good, had to have lots and lots of colonoscopies to keep them safe. Now, what we know now is that if you have your first colonoscopy, unless you've got a genetic syndrome or some variable that makes things very different to this, for most people, from that first colonoscopy that we do for you, we have a really good idea based on the number of polyps that we find, the size of the polyps and the types of the polyps, as to how often you're going to need a colonoscopy again going forward. So if we do a colonoscopy for you and we don't find any polyps, you actually, unless you develop new symptoms or something changes, you actually won't need to have another colonoscopy again, and you'll be actually back onto the government-supplied bowel cancer screening kits, and actually you're off the hook from colonoscopy. Now, if we find polyps, depending on those variables we talked about, you'll either end up with another colonoscopy in 1 year, 3 years, or 5 years, depending on what we found. So it's not that once you're on the merry-go-round now, you need to stay on the merry-go-round and keep having colonoscopy. So really, we've got a lot of information from that first colonoscopy, but certainly getting in for your first colonoscopy, if you have symptoms or you have a positive stool test. And half of the issue is that a lot of Australians, unfortunately, just don't do their bowel screening kits. They get sent them, and unfortunately, it's one of the real problems in medicine is that people don't come to our attention because they haven't done the screening test. So that's probably the biggest take-home message of all of this, is if you have symptoms, you should definitely get checked out and make sure that that we know what's going on. And if you don't have symptoms, you should do your screening kit. And if it's positive, then follow up with the GP first and then the gastroenterologist to organise a screening colonoscopy to try and work out, is it just a positive stool test, meaning that there was some blood detected? Or is it that actually, and rough numbers, about a third of patients who have a positive stool test will have something that's clinically meaningful. So either a significant polyp or an early bowel cancer, or hopefully an early bowel cancer, which means that actually two-thirds of patients who have a positive test tend not to have any either polyps or bowel cancers. But it's certainly worth doing, because we know that about in Australia, it's about 15% of people who do a test actually end up with a positive result requiring further investigation.
Now, irritable bowel syndrome, it does affect, as I said, 1 in 5 Australians. Talk us through that, how it's diagnosed and how we can get to the bottom of it, if you pardon the pun.
Yeah, lots of bad puns in gastroenterology, unfortunately. But
I'm sure you've heard them all.
So the difficulty with irritable bowel syndrome is that it's a diagnosis of exclusion. And what that basically means is that the symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome, which we've tried to break down, when we look at gastroenterology symptoms, we've tried to break it down into what's called organic symptoms and organic disease, meaning that there's something we can either see with a scan, a scope, under a microscope, on a blood test. So something that we can actually see. And then we've got the second class of diseases, which we call functional diseases. Now, functional diseases are really we have much poorer understanding of these conditions. And really what it is that the function of the gut, either the sensation or the movement, isn't doing what it should do. And so the one that everyone knows about is irritable bowel syndrome, which tends to be the bloating, constipation, diarrhea, or a constellation of these type of symptoms. And so the issue is that the bowel cancers, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, celiac disease type of organic diseases that we can see under a microscope, to the patient when they come and see me in my office, have almost identical symptoms. And so what we've then got to do is to try and tease out, is this an organic disease? Because they tend to have very specific treatments. You know, if you've got bowel cancer, you need bowel cancer treatment. Versus the functional diseases, which also have some quite good treatments these days, but have a different range of treatments. We've got to know what we're up against. And so what we've got to do is we've basically got to do the legwork to say, look, we need some blood tests. We need to make sure that, you know, your celiac antibodies are done and there's not, you know, inflammation in the body that's generating these symptoms. We've got to do the endoscopies and colonoscopies and try and target into those symptoms, try and make sure that there isn't, you know, a big ulcer or something else that can give you these symptoms. We've got to do some imaging, so things like a CAT scan or an ultrasound, to try and have a look and say, is there a bit of a blockage in the bowel? Is there something pushing on the bowel? Is there some inflammation? Is there something I can see in the abdomen? And then once we've done all these investigations, and we target the investigations a little bit to what the symptoms are, if we still haven't found anything that we can see with our scans or our scopes, then what we say is, look, okay, it's a function of the gut or function of the abdomen. It's either a type of pain syndrome, which has got some very good treatments now for that, or it's a functional problem of, you know, the bowel's too fast or too slow, and that's contributing to these symptoms, and then we start managing down that pathway.
Dr. Graham Rich, thank you so much for your insight.
Thanks very much, Bill.
There he is. Dr. Graham Rich is head of gastroenterology at the SAN, and please don't be tardy with those things. I can tell you firsthand, the whole process, for example, of a colonoscopy, a little bit inconvenient in the days before it, but it's certainly worth doing. It's not worth risking your life if you have any need to do that. My apologies to Sammy. We didn't get around to asking the question regarding polyps returning after they've been removed, but I can tell you that you can have several removed and you can go back again a year later and there may be several more turn up. Now, whether they're in the same place or not, but that can happen. Some people seem to have more of a propensity for them than others, and that's just my having chatted to gastroenterologists anecdotally. This from an anonymous text from the Mid-North Coast. I'm about to start chemo as I had a tumour removed from my bowel. It's been a tough 4 months. Well, we wish you all the best, but thank you for sharing that with us, because it does hit home how important bowel screening and testing and vigilance is in these matters. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, and we do wish you all the best in your recovery. They go on to say, in a separate test, I've always done the bowel test, but they came back negative. How I found out was I had excruciating pain in my gut for months, thought I had food allergies. Well, there you go. Thank you for letting us know. And you just need to get regular checks. There's no doubt about it.